Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. We all make mistakes when it comes to our investments. All of us, every single one of us, even I, have made a few in my time, some pretty brilliant ones, actually. So what are some ways you can reduce the likelihood of making mistakes, either minimizing the frequency or the gravity of those mistakes? Our next guest thinks mindfulness is important and could be a real critical component to reducing the number of mistakes that you make. Jonathan Dio is a financial advisor and author of the book, Mindful Investing: Right Focus, Better Outcome, Greater Well-Being. He joins us now from Berkeley, California to talk about the book and his tips. Hello there.
Hey, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
I love that you're in Berkeley, because it just connotes this like Alice Waters, oat milk, Crunchalicious, yoga pant wearing image. How far off am I? Am I like close, or did I just list a slew of unhelpful stereotypes?
They're all good stereotypes, but you know, they fit. I think they fit everywhere nowadays, though. Alice Waters is an incredible chef, great restaurants for sure. Yoga pants, absolutely. Mindfulness fits very well.
Yeah. Well, how do you define the word? I know I have a perception of the word, but in your view, how do you define it?
Mindfulness is the non-judgmental awareness of the present moment as it's experienced through our senses, thoughts, feelings. And I think that's a pretty standard traditional definition of mindfulness. And I think it fits here too.
Yeah. Okay. Non-judgmental. Got to work on that. What does it have to do with investing?
The benefit of mindfulness can be applied to basically anywhere where there's a need for a reduced stress response or more focus. And, you know, there really isn't another element of modern life that permeates our lives every hour of every day like money. And money creates stress and creates all sorts of, you know, when you're investing, especially when you're spending, there's, do I have enough? Can I make it? How much do I need? Should I buy this? Should I not buy this? Should I be saving this? How should I invest this? Should I buy equities now? Should I look at Bitcoin? What should I be doing? What should I be doing all the time? And at the same time, there's this side story where we're all sucked into social media. We're all paying attention to the headlines, and the headlines are always telling us, do something different, do something different, do something different. And this affects our investment outcomes. It affects our day-to-day thinking. Creates the situation in which we are, our biases overwhelm us and we make mistakes. Your introduction talks about those mistakes. Mindfulness is the way around those mistakes.
Can you give us an example of a potential mistake and where mindfulness could mitigate the risk of us making that mistake?
Oh, easy. Like the world is rife with potential examples. The most recent, most vicious one is probably at the onset of the pandemic. So if we have a plan and our plan is to invest in a certain way, and we are investing in that way and we're happily going about our day doing so, and then something like the pandemic hits, we have an emotional response to the pandemic. And that emotional response to the pandemic begins to leak out of the fear of getting sick and affect all the decisions we make. It creates stress. It creates, and oh my God. And I fielded many, many phone calls like, Jonathan, this time is different. We have to go to cash. We have to change how we're investing money. And anybody, just, you can go back and look at this. In 30 days, we were down like 30 something percent in a 30 day window. And within 2 months, we were back to normal. And if you had made any kind of gut change reaction to your portfolio in that window, you would have decimated your outcomes.
If we were to apply this idea of mindfulness in a super literal way, we'd have like a meditation practice that was required before we were going to have our portfolio review or something like that. I'm over dramatizing it just for effect. What does this mean in practice? It is not necessarily lighting candles and putting on said yoga pants, but what does it look like?
So, I mean, there's research on this, right? So there's, I think mindfulness, the idea of mindfulness and some of the stereotypes around mindfulness come out of looking at older men in robes, you know, orange robes, white robes that are monks and meditating. Mindfulness though is thousands of years of tradition. And really the research and academics have been looking at this for a while now, is you just every single day spend 10 minutes sitting on a chair, maybe with your eyes closed, maybe with them downcast lightly, and just breathe. And when you do that and you pay attention to your breath and you notice when you are distracted and then bring your attention back to your breath, that's the whole point of breath meditation. Very, very simple. You focus on your breath. You notice that you're breathing. You feel the breath coming in. You feel the breath going out. You notice a thought comes in and you get distracted and you go off of your breath for a bit and you come back to your breath. That is a practice. And when you practice that, what ends up happening is when you are in places of stress or anxiety, maybe it's a conversation with a spouse, or could be a conversation with a child, or it could be your portfolio. Then if you can then retreat from that moment of stress and you can breathe for a second, you can calm your nervous system. And when you calm your nervous system, you're in a position to make better decisions. So it's actually practical sitting down as a practice, 10 minutes a day. It changes the physical structure of your brain. Your amygdala shrinks, your frontal cortex increases, literally the mass of the amygdala and the frontal cortex change. You are no longer as reactive. You are more able to deal with things that are coming your way that you don't expect.
What brought you to this? Were you raised on an ashram and there was never a moment of awakening for you? It was from birth? Or do you have some glamorous, like the monk who drove the Ferrari moment?
I wish I had a glamorous moment. Now, I actually started off in my undergraduate career studying finance. And then I was pretty bored with that. And I said, you know what, I'm going to switch. And I tried, you know, literature for a while and I ended up with philosophy. And I had a couple of great professors who said, Jonathan, you obviously like this stuff. Maybe comparative religion is something you should look at. And so I went to grad school. That's what brought me to Berkeley. I went to the Graduate Theological Union's Institute of Buddhist Studies. Ooh. And I learned how to meditate. I studied all the stuff and I spent a lot of time with it. And then I dropped out. And my first job out of grad school was Dean Witter. I was learning how to pitch stocks. I became part of the problem because they would hire me because they would hire anybody. So there's a couple people along the path, you know, John Dickens, who was very planning oriented and very thoughtful and very mindful, taught me a little bit. Another guy named Ernie Guzman said, hey, you don't have to do it the Wall Street way. You can do this business a different way. So I learned along the path a way to do it differently. And then, you know, I learned to integrate my training in mindfulness with noticing the conversations I was having with clients about their stresses around money. I was like, I wonder if mindfulness would fit into this. And turns out, you know, it fits perfectly. It is such a perfect space to practice mindfulness.
Have you noticed anecdotally that people for whom this is a value, like it's consistent with what they value, there is a connection to the sorts of things that they're interested in investing in? And I ask because it would seem to me that ESG might make more sense, or you know, I don't know, alternative energy is more interesting than puts and calls on the currency market in Asia. I just made that up out of a hat.
So yeah, for sure. When you say mindful money, it attracts a certain audience. There's no doubt about it. That audience has a much greater proclivity to think about ESG investing and has no interest whatsoever in options on foreign markets. That being said, part of the mindfulness is really understanding the structures of portfolios. And we write about this in the book. There is a way to build a portfolio that actually provides better outcomes long-term with less stress. And I'm not making this up. I'm using tons of academics have done research on this I've just made it as simple as possible for folks. And so as long as you're following that path, the tools you use, whether they're ESG or pure index kind of tools, hardly matters at all. So you should embrace ESG if that's what you love. If you want to do something that's not ESG, I wouldn't beat yourself up about it. But yeah, the tendency is for folks that see mindfulness and money in the same sentence, yeah, they're going to be drawn more towards ESG.
Yeah, they probably don't have a lot of Altria in their portfolio.
Not a lot. That's the number one exclusion that I hear.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so you got three steps: planning, investing, and mindful patience. What does mindful patience mean?
It's a direct reference to basically the first question.
10 minutes about, a day, right?
Yeah, the 10 minutes a day. Well, the patience is when the thing is going to happen. And this applies both in investing and in spending, right? If you are going through a store and there's a thing there that's attractive, you want to buy the thing, you know, maybe don't buy it today. Maybe tell yourself, hey, if I still want this in 4 days or 5 days, I'll come back and get it. And 9 times out of 10, you won't. Like, that's a way to manage spending, but just by being patient and not making a change or not making the purchase. When the .com, or when, you know, oil collapsed, or when the pandemic occurred, or today, when we're looking at, I just wrote a piece called The Gathering Darkness. And I think that the next 13 months are going to be really, really rough and really, really volatile. And people are going to be scared, and the politics are going to drive people crazy here in the United States. And so there's going to be a lot of opportunity for people to practice impatience. There's going to be a news story that terrifies you. You're going to make a change in your portfolio because of that news story, or because of 10 news stories saying the same thing. And so patience is, hey, let's just sit on this for a bit. Let's just not make a change. We have a plan. We got a portfolio based on that plan. We shouldn't be making changes based on what we're seeing out there in the world. We should be patiently sitting on our hands instead.
I just felt like I needed to take a breath right there. Just, you know, non-judgmental moment. Jonathan, thank you for joining us today.
Bruce, thanks for having me.
Really appreciate your insight. Jonathan DeYo is a financial advisor. His book is Mindful Investing, Right Focus, Better Outcome, Greater Well-Being.